Hello, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm Bonnie Burkert, bringing you tools to live your highest truth, tools to transform. And what might an example of a tool be? Well, certainly tuning inward, turning inwards was one of the ways to do it. And today we're going to speak to Ginger Pullman, who is a very gifted energy healer, about different tools that we can use. And I know that Ginger and I have practiced a lot of different things, including the tarot, but she's going to talk to us about a lot of different things. So welcoming Ginger Pullman.
Thank you so much, Miss Bonnie.
Hi. So, you know, it's interesting. Before, as we were getting started, you pulled a card for our producer, Tony Sweet, who's here in the studio with me. So I want you to pull a card for all of us, anybody that's listening.
Oh my gosh, let's absolutely kick it off with some readings for everybody. And like, it's just such a force of habit. Like, oh, you're wrong. We got to pull a card. What are we doing here?
Oh, right. Absolutely.
So I guess for anybody that's listening, you can just take a deep breath and start to think of the question or the answer or the sign, dive into your own intuition, and sort of think of what sort of answer you need. So formulate your question, because the tarot usually starts with like the question you want. So just take a second, think of the question in your mind that you want answered. And this is a general reading, so this could have a lot of different meanings. And I'll pull a card and we'll just see what comes up. Okay, so for your general question, we got the Five of Cups. So what's happening with the Five of Cups? For anybody who's asking this question, I would have to say that this is typically a lot of people call this the crying over spilt milk card. And this is also the card of like, not all is lost. So if you're dealing with a situation that you've been feeling a little sour on, like whether it's like a job that you don't quite like, but you're not ready to leave, this is the idea of like, let's see what you can use, what tools you have in your tool belt to make this work. Because it's not really time to walk away from anything just yet. You might be feeling just a little pessimistic. So there's this idea of that, focus on what you do have and not the lack. Because when you focus on the lack, you're only going to create more lack. And this person, like, they have three cups that they've spilled over. Mirrors. And they're really turned towards them, they're focused, and they're completely ignoring these other cups in the picture, which are upright and full and ready to be enjoyed and taken. So you're not ready to walk away from a situation in your life or to change your life quite yet. But things are just a little sticky right now. So that is the general meeting. So you might have this is a relationship question. You might be in a relationship that's kind of, yeah, there's good stuff and bad stuff. You might be on the verge of walking away from it, or on the verge of seeing like, well, what is working on it and why am I staying in this relationship? So there's a lot of stickiness regarding that card. I can't take the pressure, Bonnie. I'm sorry. I got to pull a clarifying card for that one.
Okay.
Well,
because it looks a little sad, that card, but I like the reading of it. And I think that, you know, one of the things I'm getting out of this is don't default. You know, look at the glass half full. I mean, you know, cup half full, pun intended.
Yeah.
Right? And not just default to the initial look at it. You know, take a pause.
Yeah. And you know, there's always that energy, you know, the darkest hour is before the dawn.
Okay.
Whoever's getting this card really isn't at the darkest hour. So there's some hope there, but it's just kind of like a stinky situation. And you know what, sometimes pulling cards, I always want everybody to get the most positive, happy, awesome, amazing cards. But a lot of times when people are seeking a reading with an energy healing or a tarot card reader, I think people are at crossroads and they are shifting. So it's kind of like, sometimes it's up to me to deliver the, I will say the good news or the bad news. It's just the news, you know, like it's just the news.
Right. And don't go into judgment around it, or fear maybe is a better word.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
No fear. It's just kind of like, that's all right. You're just getting a redirect, or maybe this chapter of this book is almost over and you're coming towards the end, and that's okay. Clarifying cards. We have the King of Pentacles. So I feel like for some of you, there's the King of Pentacles. So for some of you, it could be that you know that you are deserving more. So whatever situation, be it a job or a career or something, like, I just feel like you've gotten that gut feeling hunch, like, I know there's more to this life, or there's more that I can have for my career, or really improve on this relationship. So that really is an optimistic card. But that's why things are kind of sour, because like, you are optimistic. You do see that this can be better. So hurrah.
That's hurrah. So, okay, that's, no, thank you very, very much for the read. And I love it. And just so you know, Ginger, she can be found to look more in depth at your cards, if you will. But she works in lots of different ways. And so, starting with the cards, I know that you have family members that you learned reading from. I want to ask, were the cards one of your sort of gateways to the more intuitive healer that you've become?
Absolutely. I had a lovely aunt who I love to talk about, and she always read cards, and that's actually how she pretty much made her living. And so she was super intuitive. And so like laying out the cards and see everything, it was all very familiar to me. And she gave me my first tarot card reading book, or actually it was a book of all intuitive tools. Like I think when I was in the third grade, so whatever age that was. And it was like a whole book condensed, like here's palmistry, here's how to read tea leaves, here's how to interpret cards, here's how to read a regular deck of cards. And I still have this book to this day. And that was sort of my intro into this whole world, knowing that these are things that you can check out and it's safe and it's normal. And I had lovely experiences with her, and she made candles, and yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. You were just in grade school when you were exposed to this.
I was in grade school. I'm finding out, like, actually my dad was, and she taught my father how to read. So I think a lot of people assume that it was my mother that was also a tarot card reader, but like, no, it was actually my father. He read a regular deck of cards as well.
Oh, that's so great. Do you do that? Do you work with regular decks?
I don't work with regular decks. I do want to learn it, because I remember learning it when I was about like age, like around 11 or 12, because I had the sheet that she had given to my father, like that she had written out all the definitions for each card and the combinations. And I do remember a certain combination of cards was really interesting to me because it meant death or something like that. And I'm pretty sure, and I don't know what the combinations are, and I could be completely wrong. So if anybody's listening to this saying, that's not the combination, this is just what I remember. I remember one of the cards was something like an ace, a nine, a six, and a three. And I remember thinking that was very interesting because that was the same year that JFK was assassinated. And in my little mind, I was like, it's magic.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, you were just, there you go. You're putting things together. You're looking at numerology as well. And I mean, this is one of the things that we want to talk about, the tools for transformation that we're always, you know, I get to mention to people on the show. And so I certainly give you the floor to talk about that. So you, again, had an aunt that introduced you to a number of different possibilities. Mm-hmm. At a young age, but you happened to gravitate towards the cards. Obviously, you had, you know, as mentioned, your father was helping you. But other people, what if they don't have a relative to guide them? You know, luckily they have shows like this too. But what would you suggest for people just to kind of dip their toe in the water?
I think for anybody that is dipping their toe into the water, they pretty much already have been dunked and they just don't know about it. Because I feel like they're already following their gut and their intuition to be drawn to these healing tools, whether it is any form of these intuitive healing tools, whether it is like, I'm really drawn to crystals or Reiki or Celtic shamanism, like sound healing, whatever your thing is. Like, I'm a really big believer on following the magical, I call it the magical breadcrumbs. I don't know if you can hear that. That's my cat, aka my familiar Sam, scratching at the door, desperately trying to get in. For anybody listening, he's obsessed with Bonnie. She's called me before, and anytime Bonnie gets on the phone,
he's
with me,
the
Sammy,
cutest kitty ever. And maybe in future shows, Sam will be on as well.
Maybe we'll bring him on. I'm so sorry if you can hear that. So anyway,
not at all.
Once again, Sam is looking for Miss Bonnie. He's in love with her. But following the magical breadcrumbs, whatever you are kind of drawn to, I say, go check that out. And it could be, even if like, you're not really drawn to a full healing, psychic, intuitive modality. Let's say you've had a weird song randomly stuck in your head. Go look up that song. Take a deep dive into that song. What year did that song come out? What was going on in your life when that came out? Do you actually know all the lyrics and what it means? Who are the songwriters? What are their names? What's the name of the band? And you can sort of follow these magical breadcrumbs and you'll start to understand some of these messages, because always follow what your heart is drawing you to, because it's really the universe trying to talk to you. And this is for anybody. This can be like, you know, the most Burning Man, Reiki, healing, intuitive energy healer ever living out in Palm Desert, or this can be like Bubba Joe the mechanic living out here in Missouri. Like, it's like intuition and following your instinct is for everybody, because really technology is so new in terms of the human experience, like overall with humanity, that's like we relied on our instinct and our intuition for a lot longer than most of this analytical technical side of things, really. So it's more natural to use your intuition than to not use it, says I.
Wow. Yes. Wrong. No, I agree. And sadly, we're getting away from it because it's just too easy to default to the digital, I suppose. Right. Mm-hmm. That could be to find answers or just keep oneself busy, like keep informing oneself, even if that just means listening to music when maybe you should be quiet. Maybe you should have quietude because you can listen better within. And I mean, one of the things I want to mention, I love that you mentioned, was it Bubba the mechanic? Was that his name?
Yeah, we'll call him Bubba the mechanic.
No, and I'm from Iowa originally, so I definitely grew up amongst a lot of people that would be perhaps less familiar with some of these concepts, particularly of Eastern philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. They're just not exposed to it, especially at the point where I grew up, in college even. But you know, it's funny when people have coincidences happening, and sometimes they say that it's creepy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, a strange happening. And instead of looking at it as a miracle, they perhaps get a little creeped out by that. So yeah. Would you like to say any words as far as helping people shift off of that and to know that it's all sort of in divine connection and this is a great opportunity, but how can we let people know it's okay and it's cool and it's not creepy, it's you know, by design?
Yeah, absolutely. I know I do know quite a few intuitive people that are very, some of them I know that are wildly like analytical and they work in the financial world and they're very intuitive, but they really they dismiss it, which is so interesting to me. They just kind of like, well, pish posh, I need to look at the facts and figures right now.
Spreadsheet.
and then I know other people who are wildly intuitive and it outright scared them. Like they've seen beings or things that they didn't want to see and they weren't afraid of that. So I think a lot of times some of these people, they sort of shut it down because they get scared instead of reaching out to another community or another energy healer or a tarot card reader to say, hey, I had this experience. It scared me. Can you clarify to say, what did it really mean? What was it really trying to tell me? Because right now, like, I'm afraid. And that could be a big part of it. That sometimes people are afraid to admit that they're afraid.
True.
You know, and then, you know, people might think that they're going to be weird. And of course it always goes back to, humans, like if you get kicked out of the tribe, if you're thought of as weird or weak, you're going to get kicked out of the tribe, you'll starve and you'll die basically. So a lot of times if you're in a community that isn't supportive, or you're not looking for those other people that are having these experiences, which I think most people do, you can get afraid, like, oh, I'm going to be the outcast. So I'm going to turn down the dial of my intuition because
wow.
I want to be the weird one.
That is such a great observation. Okay. You're absolutely right. And so if anybody is hearing that and understanding that, please know that, be brave. I mean, there's a community out there for you that are also seeking, and truly it's a different path. Sometimes you lose people along the way and it's okay because new ones show up. And so I'm glad you brought it up and kind of framed it in that way, that it is about sort of one's outgrowing one's community, perhaps, as you start to listen and start, the energy starts to heighten.
Yeah.
So let's speak about energy. Now, I know in past episodes that you joined me and we talked a little bit about Kundalini yoga. And I just want to bring that in terms of a physical practice that helps you kind of clear the channels, if you will, or certainly calm the mind to tap in better. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people, they talk about balancing your chakras, or, you know, the chakras are the various power centers in your body. They kind of, they start at your base of your spine or your center of your body, and they start at your base and they kind of come up through the heart and your throat and out of your crown. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Some people don't know which chakra that might be in or out of balance, and your chakra actually can be over and under activated at the same time. I think one of the great comparisons that I've heard about balancing your chakras is, picture a daisy, and that's your chakra, and there's different petals that are coming off of it. And your chakra can be over and underlined at the same time. It's like the petals, like, well, it's a really short petal it's underachieving. That's the word I'm going to say. And then there's the longer petals, which are overachieving. So really, you're just basically, all of your chakras might need a little bit of work. I personally have learned that the chakra that you tend to never think about or you skip over is usually the one that you need to do the most work on. Hmm. For me personally, I always tend to skip over my third chakra, which is your solar plexus. And that's your willpower and your life force and everything. Like, I get very excited as an intuitive, like, about like the crown chakra and the third eye chakra. And I love to sing. So I love the throat chakra, and like, love is great. Yay. Love chakra. But like the root chakra, I get it, connected to Mother Earth. And there's a second chakra, you know, your sexual organs and all that goody yummy stuff. That's cool. But then as soon as I hit the third chakra, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's there. But to the heart chakra now. So basically, if you were to think about each chakra in your body, should you be reading about chakras, assuming that you're somewhat familiar, focus on the one that you kind of don't really want to spend a lot of time on.
That's very interesting technique.
I mean, for a starting point, because for me, when I first started really getting to intuitive energy healing and everything, I thought that I would really have to crank up and do a lot of work on my third eye, my crown chakra,
the upper chakras. Like, yeah,
the seeing and the knowing. Like, I was like, "Ooh, I really need to pump those up." And the reality is, I was already deep into my intuitive practices. Like, those. Like basically, like, those bedrooms are pretty much clean. Go work in the living room. Which is like the third shot.
It's a good analogy. Wow. Like, okay.
We're good here. So that being said, if anybody does not feel like they're very intuitive or knowing right now, those would be good chakras for you to start with.
Well, yeah, that's good. And I mean, I can certainly speak to, I've long, long, long been fascinated with the chakras, just in terms of it. It's our physical, it really speaks about our physical vessel. It aligns with our endocrine systems. So, and if you're interested in more information, you know, both Ginger and myself are happy to share. But I like that. I mean, what you're talking about, the lower chakras, is kind of the earthbound experiences that we probably want to find some balance in initially, as we rise raise the energy, as we raise it up, because that's ultimately the goal. And that's what Kundalini is that energy that flows up our spine and certainly informs a higher knowing through mm-hmm. our brain, our crown chakra, which is our antenna, really. So I think it's really interesting to see your path, learning, selecting a specific yoga technique to work with something that's you've already been in. So, right. So, I mean, all it is just getting your vessel, your body, that much more, strengthening it for that much more to come through.
Yeah. And it really can shift your life. Because, you know, Bonnie, as you know, like, when I was doing my Kundalini yoga teacher training, I was doing my first like 40-day practice. I remember you say, like, okay, like, you can shift some things. I'm like, we'll see. And I have to say that, yeah, I had a huge shift from the time I started day one to the time by the time I was on the last 40 day of my practice. That huge shift did happen. And sometimes the beautiful thing that I've learned that I've really appreciated that sometimes you don't need to know how it works. You can just trust it and experience it.
Well, I think that speaks to fabulous. Yes. And I think that speaks to pretty much all of this, really. And it's just, it's kind of like getting out of your own way. So we're talking about upgrading our intuition, right?
Yeah.
So this is for some people that maybe are, you know, just getting it started, or some people that are really in it. So let's just remind everyone, right, is to get out of your way and
get
to trust and
way.
Listen.
Yeah. Now, and one of the biggest things that I, you know, I was like, I'm not very good at saying like, because I'm like the master expert, because I think as soon as you're the master expert, you're probably, you don't know what you're doing anymore. So always be a student. I will say that. So always be a student, be open to being a student and learning. And so one of the most profound things that I learned, and I really, to this day, it's hard for me because I'm a Virgo. I get in that. I do get in the analytical mind, was hold off on the judgment of the message you receive. Meaning if you pull a tarot card and it's not the card you want, or it's not the answer you want, you don't say like, well, maybe this card says everything should be changing, but I don't want to change, so let's just pull another card and see if that's what they really meant. So you kind of do this little like Las Vegas tarot card. You're like, ah, hit me again. I'm on 21. You know? Like, those are the messages. And also it could be if you were doing an intuitive reading for somebody else. And let's say that Alexander Graham Bell, clearly whoever is listening needs to know about Alexander Graham Bell, because I just came in flying out of nowhere and I don't know what that connection is. So we'll use that for an example. I don't know why Alexander Graham Bell popped in my head. So sometimes when you're reading for somebody else, you just say, you can literally, it's okay to say, I don't know why, but Alexander Graham Bell is coming into my mind. I would be mindful with interpreting the symbols or the images that come up, because the person that you were reading for or connecting with, you might say, well, Alexander Graham Bell, are you planning on getting a new cell phone package? I mean, you're like, no, but my grandfather's name is Alexander. You're like, oh.
Yep.
So it's a good idea to just simply just take the message for what it is. And then technology, you know, is our friend. We can easily from our phones Google it, like, okay, well, what about Alexander Graham Bell? What's his sign? When was he born? And then for all I know, you could meet somebody later that week at a Taco Bell, or you could meet somebody.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
No, it's true. And I think it's great.
True. Like, some the symbols come up in weird ways. And sometimes you just have to say, like, this is what I saw. And that's it. No judgment. There's no, don't judge it. Just like, this is what came up. And neutral. A neutral space is a great place to come in for readings. Neutral.
That's
neutral
good.
Mind
okay.
Is a good mind.
Because it could go the opposite direction too. You could sugarcoat everything and say, like, you know what I mean? So it's, I think neutrality is a very good message in this. But I do, I mean, I have an anecdote. For example, I remember seeing a dead crow in the, while I was hiking, and I was super, super bummed. There were just tons of feathers. I don't know what in the world might have happened, like a hawk out or something like that. And I was deeply disturbed, and I thought it was negative. But then I took a closer look at the meaning of feathers. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard about seeing feathers as supposedly a connection with the divine, and particularly black feathers was a reference to initiation. And at the time, that was super relevant for me. So instead of being bummed out that I saw death, because that is one of the tarot cards speaking, you know, mentioning the tarot cards, but it doesn't have to mean you are going to die or it's ugly. I mean, that's all, it's all just part of, you know, hey, life, there's going to be shadow.
Yeah.
And then how do we learn from that?
That's beautiful. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, it's life. There's going to be shadow. Welcome to planet Earth. Like, if there was no challenge and there was no you know, pressure, attention, guess what? We'd be in heaven. We're not in heaven. We're on planet Earth. We're in the big fat schoolhouse learning things. So the icky lessons and the weirdness is going to come up. But again, like you said, like you got into that idea of like the black feathers, this is bad. And then like, no, it's actually a whole nother meaning. So
a deep meaning. And I'm glad. And I did Google that. And sometimes the Googling is great. I always tell people if they don't feel well to Google alternative remedies for, you know, head cold or something like that. And just see what comes. Read it. There's going to be millions of suggestions. But just pick one that seems right to you. So, right? I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried that. It's like, oh, yeah, I need some vitamin C, or I really feel actually this eating some grapefruits sound really good to me, or something like that. So I think it's really, that would be one suggestion I would have, is just to be open, like put yourself in front of the information and then kind of be open to what pops out at you.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. Like just be open and let the information come in and don't judge it and let it go. And I think a big part of tapping into your intuition is gratitude. Okay. When you get those signs and symbols from the universe, whether you find a penny or a flower or a four-leaf clover, there's like a song comes on the radio right then there. And you're like, oh, these lyrics are saying everything that I think I need to do. Give a thanks to your spirit guides and your ancestors and your angels or whoever, whatever floats your boat there, but give some sort of thanks to the universe. Say like, thank you so much for that message. I really appreciate it. Because once you start to give thanks for these little things, they tend to show up more often. It's almost like, oh my gosh, picture you have like a whole like squad of angels around you or whatever you want. And they're all around you. It's like, oh my gosh, she's finally hearing everything we have to say. Let's do more stuff because now she can hear us.
Hallelujah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, that's so great. No, no, it's really, really true. And it works. I mean, Ginger's telling you, I'm telling you, it definitely works. Tune in, everybody, please. So Ginger, looking at your bio, clairaudience.
Yes.
Okay. Talk to me about how that's come together for you, what that's like, even kind of what it is. I mean, I sort of know, but go ahead and tell me.
Clairaudience is when you can, for some people, like they might hear a certain voice, or it could be like I have actually literally have heard more than once my full name, my name being said out loud. And let me tell you, like it was a voice. Honestly, the only way I could describe it is like, oh, that was God. I know it sounds really extreme or whatever, but it was the most clear, profound, I am the mighty I am like crystal clear voice that could like ever be possible. And I was just walking somewhere, I was paying no attention, which a lot of these things happen when you're not really focused on anything else, when you're kind of just in your little daydream sort of mind. And I heard out of nowhere, somebody say my name and there was nobody around me. And I looked around and that was the first time that I had really had that experience. So that's one form of clairaudience. Okay. Clairaudience, you might hear the voice of a loved one. I think a lot of times it can also be like if they're, I talk about music a lot and Bonnie, that's probably why you and I get along so well because we're both such music nuts. That when there's a certain song or something that comes up, or if I'm reading for somebody, I will hear like some sort of like, I'll hear some sort of random phrase, like the Alexander Graham Bell thing. Oh my God, what's up with Alexander Graham Bell?
I'm looking him up afterwards.
Driving me crazy. But anyways, whatever the Alexander Graham Bell message is, I will just sort of like hear some sort of like phrase. I won't see, sometimes I will see a picture of the person, but sometimes like I will just hear the name or a name. So that's the clairaudience, is just kind of hearing a message. So pay attention.
Very interesting.
Those songs stuck in your head.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I guess I was just taking pause to think about how it applies to me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've got any anecdotes on that exactly. So definitely intrigued, though, and makes me want to.
But Bonnie, I have heard, for anybody in the audience who doesn't know, I have heard a lot of Bonnie's magical manifesting, knowing. You just have like, you just have a lot of like just magical knowing. Like, I think if we turn right here, we'll get a parking spot, and then boom, here's the parking spot. And the most impossible place to find a parking spot in Los Angeles County, Bonnie will find a parking spot. Happens all the time. Parking fairy magic.
Parking fairies.
Give gratitude for it. And guess what?
Oh, for sure.
Parking fairies will say like, we got you. You want to park at 5 o'clock by the Staples Center, downtown LA, or wherever. I don't know. Right, it's not the Staples Center anymore. It's whatever the center now.
That's crypto.com. Yikes. Can't even say that. But no, that's nice. Thank you for giving me, props. I think gratitude is a big part of it. And wonder, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. one of my favorite quotes, I've probably said it on previous shows, from Einstein, you can live life as if nothing is a miracle, or as if everything is a miracle. And so believe it. I mean, it's just so important to believe that. I don't know. I don't want to just put it as in you can get your way. I mean, that's kind of a trite way of putting it, but really
you can get out of your way.
Well, there's that. Okay.
Because if you're driving around being a big like, ooh, I hate LA and I hate parking. I never find a parking spot and everything sucks and this sucks and I don't like that person and that Honda or like whatever, poor people on the Honda, but like whatever, you're probably likely not to find a parking spot. It's probably only going to get worse. You're going to park in Ventura.
Right.
And walk to the crypto bio acoustic center or whatever.
All right. I hope some people that aren't in LA are appreciating our funny reference to Ventura. It's like 3 hours away. No, it's not. It's really,
it's a situation.
It's easily 90 minutes though. It's great. Okay. So attitude of gratitude, right? Got that. Check. All right. So tell me about, let's see, did I say this one correctly? Claire
Claircognizance.
I was going to get there eventually. Yes.
That's all good. It's all fine. And for all I know, I could be saying it right now. I could be saying it wrong this whole time, but whatever, life is life. So if I'm saying it wrong, I'll say like claircognizance. And that's what I think. That's just that knowing.
Okay.
You don't know how you know. You just know. You may not hear a voice or see a hummingbird or whatever. You just sort of just know. It's just that gut knowing. And that's just sort of like, you don't taste it, smell it, you just know it.
When did you get confident in that knowing? You don't have to tell me the exact date, but it's what point in your life?
March the 1992.
That's a good date. 93, even better. It's a very good year.
That is, I didn't really know that was such a thing, but when I read the word, like, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Because there were a lot of things that like, I didn't always have any of the other clairs, like, the seeing, I don't know. Sometimes like you just know. So when I read that word, like, oh, sometimes you just know. And so I was actually sort of happy to see that there was a fancy word for it. A fancy word for, I got good hunches. We'll just
right. And kind of being at peace with that. I it's trust. It's the ultimate trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Very much.
If you take something in. So now.
Letting go of that judgment.
Right. So you use this in, as you work with people and you have a sense, correct? You're dealing with them. Perhaps you're using the cards as a tool or some of your other techniques. Mm-hmm. You're able to speak with confidence. You have a sense of what you want to share with this person, and you let them, you just know that that's the right thing that they need to hear at any given time.
I pass along the message that they need at that time. There might be more things that this person might need to know, but if I'm reading them in February, they might have a message that they might want to know, but that information will not be available until April. Like, they don't need to know that now because it could shift everything.
Okay.
So sometimes, there's a lovely card in the deck that I love, and it's the High Priestess. And the High Priestess card, she sits there very neutral with this veil of wisdom all hidden behind her. And when she shows up, sometimes since in the reading, I personally like to say that it's like may not be time to know the answer right now. And that just could be for a variety of reasons why the direct answer that you need isn't coming up. Like, should you leave your job? Should you leave this relationship? Should you move? I think a lot of times it could be you need, there are more lessons to be learned here. If you think about like driving a car, you're like, how am I going to parallel park? And you literally don't even know how to put gas in the car. I don't know. It could be like, sometimes like, no, you have other lessons before we kind of get to that point.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I really do love your interpretation of the cards. It's just unlike anything else I've experienced. I mean, you really make each card come alive so well. And if there was in another episode, we explore the cards that much more carefully. If you ever want to tune in to Ginger's other appearance on Truth Be Told Transformation. So in our final moments, I'd like to ask a little bit more about past life regression. That is something that I think it's fascinating that you've added that to your arsenal of spiritual tools. And can you do it for yourself? Do you need somebody to do it for you? What's your experience with it?
I have had amazing self-guided meditations to take me to past lives. There are a whole bunch of them on YouTube, which are for free for anybody. So go check them out, like find some. So I have done some self-guided ones. I've purchased them. You don't always need to have another person do it. I can also look into other people. I look into other people's past lives for them, like with my own techniques. And in terms of our past lives, there are some people that are, you know, you need to check out, like, why are you really drawn into falconry is one thing, you know, we have a card with a falcon on it. So why do you have this weird thing for falcons? Or why are you so interested in the, for example, like the arms and armory section at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York? Like, why do you like so many swords and whatnot? Well, the chances are you may have had some sort of connection with that in a past life. Or it could be, I've heard a lot of stories with some people, their past lives. I remember hearing this lovely, amazing story about this girl who had a very type A personality. It was like, I got to get stuff done. I have to lead this group and get stuff done. And it was really sort of ruining her life. She was really having a lot of problems. So she did a past life regression with a good therapist. And I think what happened is, I think they had discovered that she was like a leader of a ship that got shot and the boat sank. So everybody died. And she was the leader of that ship.
Wow.
So she was carrying some of that energy into this life with her drive and her ambition and the anxiety of things falling apart. Like, if she did not succeed in her past life energy connecting to this life energy, if she didn't succeed, it meant death to herself and others.
Amazing, right?
So
yeah, I love that. No, I mean, just as an example, and I'll just say the first time I ever had a session was a long time ago in New York in the 80s. And I didn't believe it. I didn't really fully even understand it, certainly not believe in it. I mean, I was open, certainly, but it was a little more sophisticated than what I was knowing about. And something came to me and helped me so much in this really trying relationship that I was in at the time. It really helped me get free of that relationship, because we were together in a past life and he was mean to me. And then he was like being overbearingly smothering in this particular time. And it wasn't working for me. And it gave me the confidence to, you know, say thanks, but no thanks. I mean, it was pretty uncanny.
It
was pretty uncanny for me. So that's great. It's great to hear that's something that now, okay. That's something that you're using with the other tools. And I want to ask you, so do you fall, okay, you're an intuitive energy healer, but you work with cards. You know the techniques around taking people through a regression. So do they interweave sometimes when you're not expecting them to?
Yeah. A lot of times people, they'll contact me for a tarot card reading, but even though I am pulling cards on them, I'm still using a lot of other techniques and other things, allowing other things to come in as well. So sometimes when I'm pulling a card, like it might be like, this card means this, but I'm getting this other message. And so that's an interesting thing. Sometimes the cards help me channel and interpret the messages that I am getting for the other person. And there will be sometimes, I don't always know where the reading is going to go. And it could be, we could start off a reading and somebody says, hey, I want to talk about this relationship. And we'll start to read the cards and something will come up and it'll be about their physical body or their health, or like you said, a past life thing starts to creep in. And I'll shift the reading to say like, okay, I think I need to check out your field to see if you have any like dense energy or anything in your space that doesn't need to be there, that needs to be cleared out, or I need to dive into your past life. So this life makes more sense. Like, why are you having this health issue now? Let's do a deep dive into the past life and see what comes up. And I've had some really interesting readings come up. Like, I'll have my own analytical brain to think, well, maybe this is what's going on. But then once I dive into the past life, the message usually gets way more profound and way deeper than anything that I could come up with. So I always like to say, like, I'm creative, but I'm not that creative. So it's good to just interpret what comes up and not to judge. And you can speculate what you might find. But sometimes these readings, you just kind of have to trust your gut. And I always have to say, like, one of the big things about intuition, Bonnie, is always have, and I think you brought it up earlier, was having that childlike sense of wonder. Amusement energy is a really powerful energy to have, is amusement energy. So we can be all wise and grounded, but always kick into that kindergarten energy that you have within. Just be open to wonder and let miracles happen.
That's so great. Thank you. That is probably really sort of says it all in a nutshell. We call the show Upgrading Your Intuition. And it really is like that. And I'll just kind of finish off and you can give me if you have any like little tools. But I'd like to say I do like journaling. I do think it's important to have some quietude. Doesn't necessarily have to be sitting, you know, perfectly in lotus with with your Gyan Mudra. It doesn't have to be as perfect as that. But, the listening also. So go ahead. In any of your little top five favorite techniques to keep you shiny?
Yeah, co-sign on the journaling, absolutely. And I agree, meditation, some people absolutely cannot. The idea of sitting on a pillow and emptying your thoughts for some people is an absolute light nightmare, and it's never going to work. So anything can be a meditation, whether you just tune out and just start to draw or to paint or do a coloring book or just walk in the woods. Whatever is going to help you. I always compare it to, do you remember like picture an early 2000s Best Buy, and you would walk in and there'd be like 25 televisions all blasting some like random music. This is basically walking into like the Best Buy of your brain and shutting off some of those damn televisions because you can't hear anything. So you don't have to turn off everything, but sort of like quiet your mind a little bit, whatever kind of gets you there. And then you can allow things in. And also a huge thing is to just simply ask your guides, ask your message, like angels, spirits, guides, I need to know the answer to this. Please send me an undeniable answer. Because sometimes you need things to be so crystal clear, you can kind of like, ooh, but maybe it was this and maybe it's that. Ask for an undeniable, crystal clear message. Okay. And then say, please and thank you in advance for your cooperation.
Awesome. Powerful. Thank you so much. This is so great. Believe me, you and I could do like, you know, seven or eight more hours on this. So until the next time, I look forward very much to our next session. So thank you. And I hope everybody has a chance to check out Ginger's site and socials and keep in touch. And thanks again for joining us here.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie.
All right.
I appreciate
it. We'll see you super soon. This has been Truth Be Told Transformation, everybody, and I'm Bonnie Burkert. I'm really glad that you've been listening, and do know that we also have shows, new episodes every week. On Monday, we have Robert Hensley with the Minuteman Report live at 3 p.m. Pacific, and of course, Tony Sweet every Friday, live Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific as well. My new shows come up on Wednesdays. Thanks for sharing, for caring, and stay shiny, everyone. Until the next time.